Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have an amazing show for you today. I have some new guests, which I always call new friends, that I'm going to introduce you to, and I have a returning guest. You know, I love it when my returning guests return, because then I have the opportunity to not only find out about them, but also to find out what's new in their world. So we're going to do all of that today. But before I go ahead and introduce our guests, I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do. And that is to go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. Find someone somewhere who needs to hear this message. Maybe they're interested in starting their own business. Maybe they need to be better at life. Whatever it is, I'm pretty sure they can find the information here on the Roundtable Talk Show. And they won't know about the show unless you share it. And we already know that friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So while you're waking everybody up and letting them know the show is live, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our first guest. I enjoyed when she was here the last time, Miss Leslie Hooper. Leslie is the founder and owner of Peer Hopes. She is a life coach and certified in Texas as a peer specialist and supervisor. And she had a journey to get here to this place. She had ups and downs and merry-go-rounds, also been in hospitals and psych clinics that she can remember. Good morning, Leslie. How are you?
Good morning. It is such a pleasure to be back on with you. So much has happened since the last time we saw each other.
Fill me in. I want to hear.
First off, Pure Hopes is becoming a nonprofit, and
congratulations.
So we can help as many people as possible, regardless of their ability to afford services. The second thing, the one I'm most excited about, is May 1st, it goes live, my new book, A Girl Named Yo-Yo, The Ups and Downs and Merry-Go-Rounds. It's with the editor right now, and it's for pre-sale on Amazon. So get out there, get it before everybody else does, and the price jumps up.
Yes. We don't like when prices jump up. I'm a shopper. I like discounts, low prices. That's wonderful. But before we talk about the book, the launch, tell us what Peer Hopes is.
So Peer Hopes allows for those with mental health and substance abuse to come and get support, to find recovery in that. We do that through individual, couple, or group sessions. It's all done online, so it doesn't matter where in the world you are. If you want help, we're there for you. And we are people with lived experience, so we know what it's like to have been there.
Mm-hmm. Now, I like the whole, and it was in your bio the last time, the ups and downs and merry-go-rounds. And you took us shortly through your journey. So I would love for you to take us briefly through that again, but I also want to add in, has it gotten easier for you? Since you've gotten to this place, do you feel the same ups and downs and merry-go-rounds, or this is just another stage on your journey?
This is another stage on my journey. You know, growing up, I never knew exactly what was wrong with me. I knew I was different. And I didn't know that it was mental health issues that I had. So once I got into adulthood and got diagnosed with bipolar, I knew there was something that I could do. And I could stop the cycle that was happening of suicide attempts and getting into abusive relationships, substance abuse. You name it, I have probably gone through it. And because of that journey, it now allows me to help others and say that I walk the road of recovery now. You know, I fill myself with positive influences like you and others in my life, and really try to get out there and make an impact to show people that they don't have to live on that merry-go-round and roller coaster of life, but it can smooth out and become just small little ups and downs. And because we don't want it flatlined, because then that means we're dead. We still want some ups and downs. And
Absolutely.
So it's a fun journey, and I really enjoy being there and helping others find a way to live life that they love and not just survive.
I think that is powerful. I enjoy seeing you again today. And I didn't tell you this the last time, but when I was in high school, I was a peer counselor. And that's probably one of the things that started this whole journey. So the word peer means a lot to me, to have someone who's on your same level, just like you, sit down with you and talk to you about life and share those experiences. So I love the name peer, Peer Hopes. I love when you're here, Leslie. I'm going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. And our next guest is Beverly A. Williams. Beverly is an author, multifaceted employment professional, arbitrator, attorney who specializes in labor and employment law, and a lecturer. Her goal is not only to improve the workplace experience, but to empower readers, listeners, and viewers to be more successful in employment matters. Good morning, Beverly. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? Good
I'm
morning to
excited.
everyone.
Yes, I'm excited to have you here. Tell
I'm
us a little
excited
bit
to
about
be here. Thank you.
you're welcome. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you and what do you do?
Well, right now I'm editing my next book, which is Your GPS to Employment Ex Success. And after hearing Leslie, I think we need to connect because one of the things my book does is provide resources for people who are looking for employment or who are looking for promotion. Talk about the upside of the round and round merry-go-round, looking for employment, especially in a tough competitive job market. You have those emotional ups and downs, and that can be problematic for many people. So one of the things I've done after some of the chapters is to provide by identifying resources that may be helpful to them. And I think perhaps your resource might be of a benefit to hopefully some of my readers should they need it.
I would
At least
love
it's better to
to.
have and not and you know to have it there if they need it. And they'll have an opportunity to go to it if the need should arise. These are troubled times and people have difficulty getting through them. And about 10 years ago, I followed a passion. I got tired of seeing, if you remember the Great Recession, there was a lot on television about people being unemployed and not being able to care for their families. And I would sit there and I'd say, but they're doing it wrong. I can help them. So in my next employment experience, I said, I can write a book, I can help, I can give them information that'll be beneficial to them. At one point, I worked in HR. So I know some things that everyday people are not privy to. And that's what I did with the first book. And I self-published it because I realized that from what I'd been told by professionals that it would take almost 2 years to get a book published, you know, from the time they accepted it to the time they got it out there. I said, well, I don't have time for that. These people need this now. So I funded it myself and I sold about 2,500 copies. So a traditional publisher picked up my book. I revised it, updated it, made it pandemic worthy. And hopefully it will benefit a lot of people. There's a lot of helpful information. Plus, I have a podcast, Your Employment Matters with Beverly Williams, that has a lot of information that will help people. That it's information they don't have to pay for, which is one of the things I've been trying to do.
That's powerful, Beverly. And I almost feel like, where were you when I needed you? I was laid off 8 times. 8 times. And people didn't understand the emotional effect that it had on me. And because layoffs wasn't a word that we heard all the time prior to like the time you were talking about. Prior to that, you were either fired or you quit. That was it. And usually, if you were fired, you knew you did something wrong. When you quit, you usually quit because you had a plan B. You had something else that you wanted to do. You wanted to move. You wanted to go back to school. You wanted to be a stay-at-home spouse, whatever it is. But when you lay it off, it's like your world is perfect. You have a job. Like I tell people, I had one employee of the month. I had perfect attendance awards. You know, I just had accolades and wonderful performance reviews. And then the next day, I'm out of a job. And it affected me emotionally. Because my salary continue, like Leslie was saying, went up and down and merry-go-rounds all around. And it varied, but people didn't understand the emotional effect that it had on me, Beverly.
Because unfortunately for us, many, many, many people, what they do is who they are. Their job is who they are. It's how they identify themselves. And we have to get away from that. The other thing is, there's no way that a mother, a parent should have to be concerned about whether their child can get healthcare. A sick child should be cared for. They should get medical. Healthcare should not be attached to employment. If you're unemployed, it shouldn't mean that you won't get medical treatment, that you can't get medical treatment. But there's so many facets. My mission is to help people change how they view employment and to be proactive about employment matters. There are things that people can do. If anyone's seen Hidden Figures, the movie?
Yes, I love that movie.
Remember what Octavia Spencer did when she realized what was going on around her with respect to computers. She didn't sit back and wait for them to come for her. She went to the library every Saturday. She studied. She learned the computer language. Then she went back and she taught her staff. And when they got ready to make that transition, there was no place to look but to them. And that's what we need to start doing.
I think that's powerful.
That's my mission. That's
We're here to help you get your mission out there, Beverly. I'm going to come back
to
you.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Mr. Corey S. Colton. Corey is an executive coach and leadership development consultant, passionate about helping leaders and teams succeed in a way that is joyful and fun. He has over 20 years experience in senior and executive roles in executive development, talent development, learning, and IT. His roles include global industries such as financial services, telecommunications, automotive, academic, medicine, and healthcare. He has led award-winning teams at the cutting edge of learning and leadership development, winning coveted global industry awards. Good morning, Corey. How are you?
Good morning. It all sounds so impressive.
That's what everyone says. Everyone is like, who is that? I'm like, that's you. That's you, Corey.
What the pandemic has shown us is none of that means anything anymore, right? So, I mean, I'm thankful to have those experiences for sure. I've had a very non-traditional career path, starting in restaurants and hospitality for 15 years. My mother would have said he was a waiter and a wine steward, which was true, in addition to being a chef and owning a catering company and other things. Spent quite a bit of time in New York City pursuing an opera career. Second career. Yeah, I was an opera singer. I got to the point in my life where I figured it's now or never.
Are you going to sing for us? We get a little note or something?
No. It's 10:13 and tenors don't even start to warm up until after lunch.
It was a good try, though. It was a good try.
Yeah. And while I was working in the opera world, I was temping in a financial services corporation. And when I decided that I could have a career vocally, that I liked steady paychecks and benefits better. And so the boss in the temp job offered to hire me, and I took him up on it. And I've spent the last 20 years or so on a path toward wanting to be a chief learning officer or a senior VP of learning and development, and took a steep step back and shift over in my career, starting at the beginning of 2020, before we knew what COVID was, deciding to go out on my own and hang out my own shingle and become an executive and leader coach and consultant.
How has that been for you?
It's been really interesting. Starting a business during the middle of a pandemic is a good lesson. And I've had to shift into taking on some of my own CEO responsibilities and marketing and networking, which I haven't been used to. So I've had this sort of dual role of trying to be the CEO and trying to do the work. Which has been a learning experience for me. So networking is not native to me. So I've learned a lot about that and what's meaningful and what's not meaningful.
Mm-hmm. What have you found meaningful in networking?
I can very quickly tell now when people reach out for me for networking, whether it's really networking or whether it's a sales call. So I've learned about the different keywords that you find in your LinkedIn messages. And I've had to discern who are the people that I really want to be attached with and the work that they're doing. So it's been a journey. And then having hired a social media marketing person to help me with that, I've learned a lot about that as well. How do you make your message consistent? What's your brand? What's important about your brand? And it all comes down to what's meaningful about the work that you're doing.
Mm-hmm. And what's meaningful about the work that you're doing?
Great question. for me, so I had a long time as an executive learning leader with an enormous team and a lot of people leaders on it. And being two down from the CEO is not as glamorous as it always sounds like it's going to be. And I spent more time managing the C-suite than I actually did doing the work. And so meaningful for me is supporting leaders and organizations in being effective, making their days easier, helping them engender well-being and balance. And if people are leaving work at the end of the day unenergized, exhausted, and unhappy, then they're not doing their work well. And so I like helping people do that better.
We're going to talk a little bit more about that. I think that's a good tie-in. I know Beverly has some comments and some thoughts on that as well. But I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Miss Claire Brown. Claire is a South African born, now living in London. She is a certified life coach and the owner of Coaching Through Clarity. Working as a certified NLP practitioner, hypnotherapist, and timeline coaching. Before starting this business in the last quarter of 2020, she held extensive experience in the professional sector, consisting of marketing, events, sales, and human resources, to name a few. She started working when she was 13, balancing part-time work and school, a fundamental. She carried through to her adult life by studying and working to ensure progression in her career transitions. Good morning, Claire. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. I'm well, and you?
I'm excited. I'm excited to learn more about you. This might be a human resources show. I don't know. Let's talk about it.
Well, it's human resources life coach. Let's see where we go with this. We could be a good synergy.
Yes, yes. Tell us about yourself, Claire. Who are you? What do you do?
So my name is Claire Brown, and I currently live in London. I'm from South Africa, and I really appreciate you having me on your show to talk about this. My aim is to empower people to realize their true value and to bring out the best version of themselves. And that is the purpose of why I decided to become a life coach, if I can put it that way. Mm-hmm. I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit ever since I was a kid. However, you're always told when you're a kid, you know what, you should go out, get the job security. And I think if there's one thing that I've learned in my something odd years of being on this earth, job security, when it comes to a crisis, this is something that just isn't there. So when it came to 2020, I thought, you know what, this is actually a great opportunity for me to A, put my passion to work and start my own business. So it was satisfying my entrepreneurial spirit as well as living what I believe to be my purpose in helping people. And this is working through shifting paradigms. You know, it's, as I mentioned earlier on, you're told things when you're a kid, you're brought up, you have this belief system, and sometimes that belief system just doesn't carry you through and you need to make a change. And that's what I want to help people do.
Yes. No, but that's wonderful. Usually though, when sometimes, we don't know what that change is. We don't know what we want to do with life. We don't know what that direction is. You know, it's like a feeling. We know something has to change, or maybe we got laid off. Maybe a door was closed and we had to do something else, but we don't know what that is. How can you help people with that clarity?
Well, it would be, I do a lot of, on my communication, on my social media, I talk a lot about, you know, what are you doing today to make that change? What are your goals? How are you, a lot about how you speak to yourself. are you just getting up every morning and doing the same thing day in and day out and playing the replay of your life and hoping that something will show up for you? Or are you actually taking action in your life and making that change happen and creating that opportunity for yourself? And a lot of it is sitting down with the individual. I provide discovery calls when working one-on-one with clients. I provide a free discovery call where they can sit down and chat to me. And then we can go through what it is that they're actually missing, or what they feel is missing, or what they want to change, and what is driving them to sit in front of me and have that call. Mm-hmm. And then we take it from there. Yeah.
Powerful, Claire. I'm going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. You have seen him before on the Roundtable Talk Show. Interesting guest, lots of information, Mr. Steve James. Steve has been a freelance marketing consultant for small businesses for over 7 years in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. He focuses on retail, hospitality, and information technology. Good morning, Steve. Nice to have you back.
Great for the invitation. Thank you very much. It's early in the morning here, so excuse me. I don't look as crimped and groomed as the rest of your guests do.
No, but I noticed your hair has grown. It has even more effect than the last time.
Yeah, I had it all cut out thin for a theatrical performance I was in last time. It's growing back now, so it's just reached that stage where it's just ugly.
It's not ugly. You know what? See, when you have a certain look, you just call it eccentric. Like, it's just eccentric. You're eccentric, Steve.
Thank you very much, Reba. I'm just enjoying listening to everybody here, because what a wonderful group of talent that we have here, with multiple lives, multiple talents. And I'm sure we can all learn something from each other.
Yes, let's learn from you. Who are you? What do you do, Steve?
I run my own one-man marketing business. So I work with small businesses that are not online, doing their web content for them, content creation, and marketing as well.
Did you see a shift over the last year from small brick and mortar companies to all of a sudden have to figure out, how do I expand? How do I join e-commerce? How do I join the online world?
Absolutely. When you are just waiting for someone to walk through the door and you're not doing anything about it other than having a sign outside your business, it suddenly doesn't work when there's nobody else around.
Yes.
There are new ways to do it. You've got to go do home visits. You've got to promote your own business correctly. So, I've had a struggling year with some home visit-based businesses where, again, people don't particularly want you in there. So it's a way of trying to talk to clientele to make sure that they knew how to outreach online, how to grow their outreach. But I've learned something, as some everybody else, because everybody else knows every time you hit a problem in your business, you learn how to get through it and you add to your skill set.
Okay, so for people who don't know how to do outreach on social media, what are some of your tips, strategies, or guidance you can provide?
You know, what I always say is, if you're going to put a Facebook icon on your website, it better lead to some information. Because that information's got to be real. Because people may well be interested in your business. And the great thing about promoting it online is that you can lead everybody back to your website where all information you want is on there. But if people don't know how to get in touch with you, if you're not connecting with people, if you're not putting new and interesting and exciting stuff online, then everyone's going to ignore you. Mm-hmm. An interesting discussion with somebody, a prospect that I didn't get to land, but he said that he'd always tried bench advertising at bus stops before. Mm-hmm. And that was good. And he didn't understand why social media was taking so long to gain some traction. And I said, you know, you don't know how many times people have seen those benches before they call you. If they may have been looking at these things for months and not doing anything about it. But with online, they're able to contact you directly if you give them the right information in order to do so.
The information that you gave, I understand perfectly. Now, it's 2021 and the internet's been out there for years. And there's still people I find who are fighting having an online presence, fighting have a website, or people who just say, you know what, I don't need a website. I have social media. So many people who operate their business just from Instagram these days. What are your thoughts, Steve?
Usually try and say you've got to go onto the platforms where your people are, where your buyers are. If your buyers are on Instagram, then great, and find a way how to make sure all that works. But don't be on there automatically just because you've just heard the name and you think you should be there. Also, what you're, I think if you're not having any kind of knowledge-based site, such as a website of your own, then all you're doing is promoting what you know in two or three sentences at a time, or 140 characters on Twitter. And that's not enough to convey a continuing message that your prospects need to hear. The whole idea about social media is not to sell it, it's to grow your prospect pool and then turn them into customers. So let's give people information that they want.
Absolutely. The point of social media is to socialize, to communicate, to engage, and to have fun. Now, Beverly, we talked to our guest today, and one of the common themes that I saw was the human resources aspect, as well as different transitions in life most of our guests are going through. What are your thoughts so far on the conversation?
I'm struck by the same things you just raised. And one of the things I tell people when they ask me what I'm doing is, as I said before, to get people to think differently about their employment journey. One of the opportunities we have, since we're not going into work, most of us, is we can collaborate. We can connect virtually by telephone. Families, friends should think of opportunities or discuss possible opportunities that they can collaborate, work together to come up with a business. Now, I wish I had thought about Instacart. I mean, yes. Really? Yes. When I found out Instacart existed, I was like, why didn't I think of that?
Yes.
When you think of the changes in the workforce, how people are retiring, how baby boomers are coming out of the workforce, they're moving into retirement, and some because of illness or an injury, they're housebound or not able to drive because they may have hurt a foot and it's the driving foot, you know? There are things that people like that in those circumstances need. Mm-hmm. And that can be a bridge over from employment to unemployment. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I have an analytical mind, not about numbers, but about people. And when I'm listening and I'm taking notes, because there's some synergies that I'm hearing. And that's important. But I think we're missing opportunities, you know, as people. We have to start recognizing opportunities more. And for some people, that's not easy.
Yes. Was it easy for you, Corey?
No, I was pretty singularly pathed. So my career in corporate started, and then headhunters would call about new positions, and I would go from one position to the next. And so, to Beverly's point, the piece about being able to build something on the side, so side hustles, side businesses. I'm going to be taking a new role internal to a company again, and yet they're okay with me continuing to do my coaching and consulting on the side as long as I'm following conflict of interest rules and things like that. So the side hustle, the building the career, was not something that I would naturally have thought of. The other theme, Sharifa, that I've been hearing through this unsaid, is there's something in here about generational differences that we're talking about or not talking about.
Yes.
So how does your background or your parents' background influence the way you navigate your work life, right, in your career? So my parents were born and grew up in the Depression. I grew up during, I probably shouldn't say this, but the recession era of the 70s. And so my outlook on how careers work is a little bit different than somebody who may be in a Gen X or millennial generation. So it was not easy for me to make that shift. I think I'm in a different place now. Mm-hmm. Understanding that I don't have to wait for a headhunter to call me. I can take charge of my employment in a different way.
And you should.
Yes. But I think also part of the generational difference is that for me, My parents, you know, they've been, especially my mom, she was at her job for 20 years. The generations prior to us, that was the thing. You got a job, you retire from the job. That was part of the American dream. There was no job searching or hunting or, you know, moving from place to place. You were there, you retire, you got the gold watch, the gold pin, and all of that. Another thing that was different is that it was standard to have health benefits. So that was just a part of the job. It wasn't a part of the negotiation. It wasn't a part of, I hoped I got health benefits. It was just a part of what happened. And then a lot of those things, the longevity in the company went away, the benefits in the company went away. And the only thing you really had left was just the paycheck. And so if somebody offered you something better, something closer, something virtual, something, there was nothing holding you on, holding you to that business, you just moved around. And like for someone like myself who was laid off 8 times, I had to figure it out. So I added the side hustles and then I also kept looking. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, not this past job, but the one before, I was in a privately held family company that had pension, which is so rare. And I was in a place where I was not enjoying my job and the culture of the company was eroding. And it was a really difficult decision for me to take that new job and walk away from that pension. And that, you know, and the other piece now that I'm dealing with is we're in a country that doesn't provide healthcare. And so how do you move into a side hustle when you have dependents and you have to figure out how to provide healthcare? So all of those things, I think, move into decisions around how we navigate our careers.
Absolutely. Claire, your generation, talk to us. What are your thoughts? What are your feeling on the changes that you've seen?
I think it's also dependent on what the generational experiences are through the family as well. So for example, my mother is originally from Ireland in Belfast in Northern Ireland. And my granny owned a local corner shop where everybody went to go and buy their goodies that they needed. And that was hers. And she started it. She built it up. My mom even said, you know, we were one of the first people on our street to have a car. So it was great. Yet my mother stayed in a 9-to-5 job because whenever opportunity came her way, she would always say, oh, but what if it doesn't work out? And what if I lose my job and I've got my child that I need to look after? And then that was also brought on to me where you need to stay into your 9-to-5 job and you need to have security and this and the next thing. So I think it's also looking at the experiences, the family experiences and the generational experiences that are passed down through the family as well. Yeah, it is, but then it's also, I suppose everybody's on nowadays about being authentic and following your dream as well. So then it's also having that courage to move forward with what you actually want to do. And if you want to work a 9-to-5 job and have a side hustle on the side and keep that as a hobby company, then that's great. If that is your passion and that's what you want to do with your life, then build it up so that it replaces your 9-to-5 salary, then that's also great. Yeah.
How about you, Leslie?
Oh, sitting here listening to all of it, it's great information. And I'm sitting here thinking about my experience growing up. My mom was a school teacher with that 9-to-5 job, and my dad was an entrepreneur. He's held several different businesses, from a home improver to a morticianer. I think that's where my entrepreneurship came from was my dad. And, you know, it's just sitting here thinking about it, though, it's like Beverly was saying, so many of us get caught up in our job being our identity that we get scared to leave somewhere. We get scared to move forward and press to that we love and what we're passionate about. And that's where I think me and everybody on this call is coming from, is get out there and be passionate about something. And when you're passionate about it and you're doing that passion, it's not going to be work anymore. It's going to be enjoyable. I am glad when I get up now and I go to my office. Whereas I was in sales at one time and I would cry on the way to work and I would cry on lunch break and cry on the way home because it was such a toxic environment, but I was scared to leave because the income was so good. Mm-hmm. And it was steady. And then eventually I quit that job without having another one. That was the biggest fear, is I said my mental health is more important than an income right now. And I walked off that job. It took me 2 months to find another job. But somehow, you know, I was taken care of by friends and family during those 2 months while they let me go find my passion and get a job that I loved.
Oh, that is so wonderful. I love that. I've done that before. That was in one of my layoffs. I did that when I was like basically 20 years old. I hated my job. It was Christmas Eve. My husband just basically wanted to kill me because I'm like, I can't do it. No matter what, I'm not going back. And I didn't. But the mental health is very important. And I'm one of those people, when I make a decision, I can't be moved. Steve, personalities, talk to us about that.
It's interesting while you're discussing everyone's upbringing, which is different, and everyone's life experience, but it's also important to know who you are. There are lots of personality tests online, and that sounds a bit odd to a lot of people, but
no.
You can find out a lot from sites like 16 Personalities, where you just answer questions. It's completely anonymous, it's completely free, but you get a third person's look at who you are, and it's surprising. I never knew that I was a diplomat, for instance. I never knew that I was a people master. And you can come across these tests, and you will find that psychologically, these tests give you the same answer all along. You may have a great idea. It doesn't mean you're a wonderful entrepreneur because you had a great idea. It's not all business sense. You may not actually be fitted for an employee life. You just never knew that. So it's a good way, if you're running your own business, or even just to see how other people see you, to see what kind of person you actually are, and if you're a good fit for what you're trying to do.
I like that. Now, we do have a question from the audience, and this question is for Beverly. The question is, I was terminated while on a medical leave. Can I apply for unemployment after being on a medical leave?
Depends on what state you're in. It depends on whether it's you were on a federal medical leave and your benefits, your employer provided benefits. So without more information, I can't really answer your question. I'm not familiar with all of the laws in all 50 states. I would suggest that you go online and form a question, Google it. And you'd be surprised how you can get information just by forming a question. Material will come up. You'll have to parse through it. But they usually word things so that lay people can understand it. It's not a lot of the material that you'll find helpful is written so you will understand it. It's not written in legalese.
Okay, I'll have them Google it and do their own particular research, but they ask the follow-up question.
They may. It depends on the state.
Okay, in California, the question is, in California, is it illegal to fire someone while they're on a medical leave?
If it's a job-protected leave, it is. If it's a federal family and medical leave, and it's within the 12-week period, no, you're not supposed to be terminated unless the job was going away anyway. Mm-hmm. If they were going to have a layoff and you went on family leave, and I'm not giving legal advice, I'm not licensed to practice in California. I'm telling you, I'm giving you what I've read online, but I strongly suggest that you go online and you look. But if you have a job-protected medical leave, you're not the ability to terminate you is limited. It would depend on the specific facts.
Yes. Yeah. Well, thank you for that information. You were going to say something, Corey?
Yeah, Beverly. Isn't it generally the practice that if it's an FMLA protected leave, that they should have some obligation to offer you some sort of role that's commensurate to your original one?
It depends. If they can establish that they were going to eliminate the job anyway, like if there were a large wholesale layoff,
right,
a reorganization, and it was in the works for, and they can, you know, they have a paper trail,
yeah,
that supports their allegation, their statement that we were going to do this anyway. We started this in January and now this is October.
Right.
And they just happen to be on leave. Then that's an argument for not, your job is no longer protected.
Right. Got it.
But otherwise you would be right. It's fact sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
Typically FMLA leaves are job protected. But there are ways around them. And so we're clear, just because the law says something, employers have become more sophisticated.
Let's talk about that. Don't stop right there, Beverly. We want to hear.
I mean, seriously, you know, I heard somebody mention job security, and there is no such thing. It's an oxymoron. There is no job security. People are not likely to be able to work 20 years for the same employer as you did, as your mother did.
Yes.
So to Corey's point, what I advocate is multiple income streams. You have your 9-to-5, if that's what it is, and your side hustle, and maybe something else. You need to have multiple income streams. You need to keep your eye on what's going on in the industries you're interested in, the industry you're working in, the industry in which your side hustle is, the industry in which you're considering going into a collaboration with friends. You need to keep your eyes on everything that's going on. And it doesn't mean just you. You delegate. You know, everyone has to participate in the enterprise of staying afloat, because that's what we're trying to do. When you see people so downtrodden and so depressed because they can't provide for their families as they have always done, they don't go to work and feel good about themselves as they've always done. We need to get away from that, and you need to own your own employment journey. And multiple revenue streams is one way to do that.
Absolutely. Leslie, talk to us about that feeling. You know, I know many people come in and talk to you. They're going through these situations that Beverly just described.
Yeah, they definitely are. And one of the things that I encourage is multiple income streams. So that way you've got, you know, if the 9-to-5 goes away, you've got the side hustle. And it may not make you the same amount of money, but you're not sitting there completely worried as all get out. But, you know, then once, if the side hustle goes away, you've got another income and another income. You know, it's definitely a world now to where you are not dependent on one thing, but that you have multiple. You know, for me, I've got Pure Hopes. I've got my 9-to-5. I've got a couple other things on the side that I'm not even going to mention, but you know, I have all of that. One of them's Mary Kay. I don't even
I
like
love makeup. Mary Kay.
Yeah, but I don't even like makeup, but I sell it. You know,
you got to do what you got to do, Leslie. I remember I was an Uber driver and I liked driving around people and telling them these funny stories. And people would ask me, like, the number one question, they'd be like, what made you become an Uber driver? And I'd be like, well, it was between Uber and stripping, and Uber called first. And that's like, you know, you got to do what you got to do at some point.
And I'm Uber driving, you know, it's whatever you can do to make means meet until you find something that works for you more steady. How about that, Beverly? More steady, maybe.
Exactly. You want to position yourself so you have choices and you're not beholden to any employer, you know, because they make decisions without any regard for you. They make decisions based on their business objectives and their bottom line. There is no paternalism in employment the way there used to be.
And you brought up a good example at the beginning of Hidden Figures. Get out there and get educated. If you want to be something, go learn about that. You know, I wanted to be a peer specialist, so I went and did the training before I had the job. I loved it so much, I went and did the supervising training before I could become a supervisor. You know, the position wasn't there, but I leveled myself to where when my employer thought of questions about being a peer, I was the first choice that they thought of to get the answers. Get out there and get educated.
But the other thing, and I'm going to stop talking, but
don't stop talking. We learning, Beverly.
Networking, even in the pandemic, people get jobs through referrals, through people they meet. There was in my book, I did a webinar at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I heard this young man tell his story about his employment journey. And I knew that I wanted to interview him for my podcast. When he told me the entire story during the podcast interview, I knew I had to have it transcribed so it could be included in my book. It's as simple as he was an NFL player. He had been cut by one team. He was going to try out for the Patriots, and he sat next to this guy on a plane on his way to New England. And he saw that the guy was working on his laptop on a presentation, and he looked like a businessman. And he looked at the man and he asked him, "Will you help me?" He didn't know what he was going to do. He didn't know whether he was going to make the team. He had graduated from college, but he was at his wit's end. He had $10, $12 in his pocket. His mother had bought his plane ticket. He asked the man if he would help him. And the man asked him, "How can I help you?" And now at 30, the young man is the executive's director of sales. I mean, please go to my website, www.youremploymentmatters.com. It's Lou Alexander. Listen to his story. If you connect with people, even strangers, people want to help other people. Everyone's had a rough patch in their life. Mm-hmm. And somebody helped them.
Yes.
And it's a good feeling if you can reach out and give somebody a hand, a suggestion, a connection, to someone else.
Yes, that's what you do, Steve, correct? You help a lot of people during this process.
Certainly, we're gonna run an experiment right now. You know what I told somebody once? He had a box of business cards from people that he'd met at Rotary clubs, at local business get-togethers. And in the end, he said he took them all out of his wallet over and over again and put them in a box and forgot them. Mm-hmm. So I said, "So get on LinkedIn, because these people know you." So therefore, LinkedIn is no longer just another business style of Facebook. Everybody should be on LinkedIn. These guys have met you before. They know you. They know what you do. They know they may be able to help your business. And in the end, that was my full-time job for him for 1 month, was actually inputting over 500 business cards information to LinkedIn, finding them, because I run the guy's LinkedIn account, and getting in touch. So I have found this works in the past. And in the chat bar to everybody, here is my LinkedIn profile. Please get in touch. I'm not selling. We're just talking, just the way we're doing right now. But you'd be surprised how many people that we've been in touch with that we don't know, that are common friends or contacts to us all. It'll be fun to see if this experiment comes off the way other groups know.
Well, we're friends. I just checked. We're friends on LinkedIn. I see your post. That is wonderful.
That's a great idea, Steve. I should have put that in my book.
Next book, Beverly. Next
book. Well, you know, I'm still editing this one. I'm going to see if I can slip that in, Steve.
Go for it.
Claire.
You're
going to
end up with business cards.
I think from Leslie to Beverly to Steve, everybody, well, Corey included, but then this last bit, everybody's made a very good point about get yourself educated. And it doesn't mean that you have to go, and if you can't afford to go out and pay thousands of dollars or pounds or euros for education, it makes that you don't be afraid to take on the internship, the graduate scheme. Go and find somebody that you admire and offer to work with them so that you can learn from them, because that is also a great way of getting educated. And connection and kindness and paying it forward.
Yeah. What are some of the things that you've done, Claire? Let's talk about your personal journey real quick. To build your business. No, to build your business. We talk about it, you know, but often we want to relate because we relate to the human experience.
Yeah. With regards to my business at the moment, I do all of my social media and my marketing and the website and all of that. I do it on my own, but I have such a supportive environment or a support group around me of friends that do this type of thing as business or who have it as a 9-to-5 job. And again, it comes to that connection where they know what I'm doing with my life. They know that I'm starting a business. I'm looking at building it up. I'm looking at scaling it. Okay, so come, let's sit down and let's talk about what you need to do. So it's that's what I've done on my personal level with regards to building my business. Yeah.
So what you're saying is your business, you're doing it on your own, but because of the people and the network around you, it helps you to prosper. That's what I understood from what you were saying.
That's it.
I love it. We've learned a lot. We've answered some questions on today's show. We are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Corey.
Ooh. So I would say some of the things that I've learned in my career shift and during the pandemic is being open to new avenues. We've all talked about this here, but I call it the growth mindset versus the fixed mindset. So be willing to learn, be willing to change. I think the pandemic is going to initiate a new barter economy. And so I think that there are going to be opportunities for people to work together in different ways, like Claire said, and support each other in business building. If you need help, it's out there. My business is called Inflection Point Coaching. And that's because at some point when my career was building, I reached what's called an inflection point, which is that point on the curve of, you know, a graph where the direction changes and exponentially increases. And I've been through several inflection points. And I just think that people, like Beverly said, are there to help, right? And you don't know until you ask. And people are generally more willing to work with you together when you are able to do something that's mutually beneficial. And sometimes it doesn't even have to be mutually beneficial. So I think what I've heard through this whole podcast is that everybody's here to help. Everybody has expertise and everybody has a passion to follow.
Absolutely. Steve, what do you have for us? I muted Steve.
Sorry, I was muted there. We've all said the old working times and ways are over. We all have hidden talents. We all have things that we like to do. So why not go do what you want to do? Get in touch with people. Ask for help. Ask for information. Because people will give it away. I'll also drop my blog here. I don't have a company name. I work as one person. And I give away free information on my blog every month. And you know what? Nobody ever does anything with it. They just think, oh, isn't that nice? I've moved on. So if you any of details that I can help your business with, then let me know. And you can go to my blog and enjoy it and follow me. And I hope to see you on LinkedIn very soon.
Absolutely, Steve. People probably pay more than you think. I remember my very first radio show, 2009, Ask Sharifa Radio. I was so happy. I did marketing for about a month, told everyone, came to do my first show. One person showed up. My little poor little feelings were hurt. I was disappointed. But you know what? Over the building of the show, over the next years, other shows, when I look back at that first show, It has thousands of listeners. That's why I always appreciate the people who listen in the archives, because maybe they're too busy to catch it live. Maybe they're too busy to tell you that they read your blog. But you know what? Many people notice when you don't notice that they're noticing. Thank you, Steve. Claire, what do you have for us?
I could sit for 5 minutes and tell you exactly what to take away, but there's two things I think that are really important is for everybody out there, I know that things are tough at the moment. I just want to remind you that don't let your outside environment control you. And remember that you respond from within. And how you respond is important, and that is key. And again, the only person that could ever stand in your way of achieving your dreams and achieving your purpose is yourself. Don't do that to yourself.
That is powerful. Thank you, Claire. Leslie, what do you have? Leslie, before you give us your takeaway, I've been sitting here this whole show watching your backdrop and the picture on the wall. I'm hoping that the picture that used to be there is now in the mail to Sharifa Hardy. You know what I mean, Leslie?
I know what you mean. And yes, it is going to be soon. I just took it home the other day. So that okay. way I can get it mailed to you. Man, my takeaway is this, you know, definitely get out there and educate yourself. And if you're looking for good ways to get educated, volunteer.
Yes.
Jump on and volunteer. You can put that on your resume as something of experience. And, you know, there are so many of us that are there to help you, and those connections, just start making them. You don't know. Your neighbor might be looking for somebody to cut the yard, and there's an extra income for you. You never know what's going to be another form of income until you get out there and experience it and get out of that shell.
Absolutely. But I want to talk briefly about your art. When you were in the last show, you were and it's beautiful. You painted this one as well?
No. Actually, people that I work with, different peers who have come through the program with me, we do art therapy at times, and they've painted them and handed them over to me. And sometimes I hand them off to other people to share, but every one of them was done by somebody that's been in my life as a peer.
Okay, well, we're going to have to be back on the show, Beverly, Leslie, but every time you come, I want a new picture. I love that one as well. Just before you pass them off to other people, just be like, Sharifa might like this.
You can't have that one because that one was the first one ever given to me.
Okay, then some more, but I love it. It's beautiful. Thank you, Leslie. Beverly, what do you have for us?
Leslie's absolutely right. Volunteer, give back. It's a networking opportunity also. It's an opportunity to do good for someone else that will make you feel good, but it's also an opportunity to connect with people who may be a connection to your next step. But with networking, you always want to try to create a win-win. Someone does something for you, you do something for them, so that you don't feel like you're always taking and word doesn't get around that that's what you're doing. So just create, you know, you may be able to do, as Steve said, he has some marketing advice that he can, you know, he can give someone. Someone may give him a contact who needs marketing or whatever support, website support, whatever it is that Steve does. Just a give and take. Don't always be on the receiving end.
Yes. What's your ideal client, Beverly?
I don't really have one. I don't really have clients because I find especially young people don't want advice. Mm-hmm. So they don't come to me until it's trouble. Mm-hmm. And then it's, Beverly, what should I do? Or it's, Beverly, you're going to be so proud of me. And my response is, you tell me what you did and I'll tell you whether I'm proud. And typically I'm not, you know, they haven't made the right decision. But I tell them why. And I said, you can do what you want to do, but I'm telling you, this is what's going to happen if you continue down this path. And they continue down the path. They don't pay attention, but then they come back. Oh, Beverly, what am I going to do? And we sit down and we work it out. I don't usually charge people for the advice I give them because I don't expect them to take it. They don't really. People want to hear what they want to hear. They want affirmation. They do not want information. So I give it to them for free.
That is powerful. Thank you, Aunt Beverly, for joining us on today's show. I want to thank you all for being guests on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who is watching in the archives. I definitely appreciate your support. I appreciate you for watching the show. I appreciate you for sharing the show. But I always ask, please don't just watch the show. Don't just share the show. Please support our guests. Visit their websites. Their websites, their links, Steve's blog link, is in the Facebook post. Please visit them, follow them on social media, send them a message, connect with them, network with them. And when you do, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.
Bye-bye.